Good stuff from Dave Yeager. 2 hours left. We've got preseason basketball on Monday as the Kings play the Spurs. We'll get a chance to see Rudy Gay twice this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he'll be playing, but we'll be able to at least talk to him and stuff.
Yeah, I would think Rudy's probably going to get out there a little bit. I mean, he's coming back from injury. He's got to get out there and, test the tire out, see what's up. I totally forgot about that. We get to see Rudy. Okay, that'll work. And you know what? It's totally different, Grant, when you throw on your jersey. Like Coach was saying, you throw on your jersey, it's a whole new environment for the players. But when the people across from you don't mean you goodwill, it takes on a different pace, different tempo, different meaning. Everything is different, and it'll be good for the Kings players.
All right. Again, Willie Cauley-Stein coming up in just a few seconds, and then we'll get you, as we said, through the – football weekend with our locks of the week, our upsets of the week, our picks of the week, and we'll get the take from the Denver Broncos. Both the Broncos and the Raiders are coming off of losses, so this is going to be a hell of a game at Mile High on Sunday.
Yeah, the worst thing that could have happened to the Raiders. I mean, the Broncos were rolling, and you're thinking they're probably going to go, and they lost to Buffalo. You think they're going to beat them. They lose a game, and now you're going into Mile High, and they lost. This is going to be a tough one for the Raiders, and if they pull it out, I think it says quite a bit about them, Grant.
Yes, this would this would be a bounce back, no doubt about it. All right, joining us each and every week this year, and we're really happy to tell you that. We did tell you that last week, but Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be with us each and every week talking about everything that's going on with the Kings, and we'll do some fun stuff as well that doesn't have anything to do with actually playing games. Willie, it's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. A lot of fundamentals. We just had Coach on talking about what your practices have been like. You know, it's a lot of repetition, a lot of fundamentals. And so I would imagine you're chomping at the bit to kind of play, even though it's preseason, on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've been doing a lot of reps, a lot of teaching. So me, all the guys included, is just ready to get out there and, you know, play against somebody else besides ourselves.
You know, Willie, when you come into training camp, a guy like you, this is a different type of environment from the standpoint that your role was one thing. Now it's starting to expand. What have you seen in your preparation that you're like, yeah, I like that this is going the way that I plan in the summertime?
You know, from a position standpoint, like us bigs are essentially point guards now. Like, you know, the whole offense kind of runs through us at the elbow. So, like, you know, we got the ball in our hands the whole time. We get to choose what passes we want to make, what actions we really are running. So, you know, Coach really put the power in our hands, and it's, you know, it's different. But that's what we're working on now, is those reps. And, like, we literally run the same actions for, you know, hours a day of, you know, backdoor cuts and handoffs and screens and following the ball. And, like, you know, there's so much stuff that he's having us do that it's like overloading, but it's going to be good when it comes second nature.
We're talking with Willie Cauley-Stein, the first of six preseason games coming up on Monday. You know, Doug has talked to you about this in the past, your athleticism and the fact that you love to run the floor. And it just seems to me that this is going to be an up-tempo team, which fits into exactly what you want to do. I would think that you must feel like you're in a perfect situation right now.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to be able to put pressure on the paint and the rim with all of our guards that we have. And even our bigger guards that they're having to run wide this year. And, like, they're doing more running than they've ever had to do. And you can tell that they're not used to it. You know, our coaches are constantly saying, oh, you guys got to run through. You guys got to run through. And they're like, you can tell on their faces, are like, dude, come on. like, we're not used to this. So it's just, it's very up-tempo. It's going to be very exciting to watch us play for sure, because it is fast.
You know, Willie, Bogdan Bogdanović, first time over here playing in the NBA. Is there anything that you've seen that you really like out of the young man? I got a chance to watch a little bit, and he's highly skilled.
Oh, very skilled, very calm, very calm and collective. He's got some stuff to his game. I really like him a lot. He's very calm, and I like what he does with the ball. He's just real smooth with it.
When you mean calm, you know, expand on that.
he doesn't rush. Like, it seems like every like pass or every dribble he makes, he's making it with like a purpose or a setup. You know, obviously he can shoot the heck out of the ball. So like, but his passing is what's got me intrigued by him, and is like his movements is just, he's just so smooth. Like he's, you know, and he's supposed to be a rookie, but he doesn't play like a rookie. Like he's just slowed down, but like his movements is quick and like decisive. Like he knows what he's doing with it.
You know, you speak to that. I think that a lot has to do with, like you said, he's not a rookie, but he is a rookie. Championship moments, a lot of different things that he's experienced. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, and you get a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who is young. Obviously, you know him from Kentucky. What have you seen out of his game? And let's throw Frank in there, those two point guards together. What are you seeing with those two?
Well, Frank is more matured than De'Aaron because he's older, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
like, his game is more matured. Like, you know, Frank does some stuff with the ball or makes some decisions that Fox wouldn't do yet, just because, you know, he's played in that college environment a longer time, so he's more polished in the sense of like being in the game longer. So, but like, I would say like Fox is just so talented, and like He's so athletic and just a wizard with the ball. Like, he just makes stuff happen. Even if it doesn't look well, he's going to make a play. And it's really fun watching them go against each other, because Frank is just a bulldog. Like, he's just a bulldog. He gets in the lane and makes stuff happen. And Fox is just, you know, he's like a knife going through butter. Like, he gets through these little cracks that, you know, you wouldn't think that you could get through, but he makes it happen.
And then, you know, we talk about two-a-days a lot of times, and even though you work out on your own, you've been playing a lot of basketball with the fellas for a while. Is there any difference on your body? In other words, do you get sore with training camp, or did you come into camp in such great shape and you've been doing this that it's just like another week for you?
You get sore for sure, just of all the banging and the drills. Just being on your feet, like, you know, in the summertime, you're not going as hard as what you're going right now. Like, right now is like a different type of speed, running the floor. Like, you're getting in game shape now. Like, before, you're in workout shape, and it's like a whole different speed. It's a whole different toll on your body, and it's a different soreness. Like, it's more of a sore in the sense of you're just running so much, and then in a you know, when you're training, you're sore because you're lifting on the side, you're doing some other type of training on your legs. Like, it's just a different type of soreness.
You know, Willie, when I look, and Grant and I talked about this for the last couple of days, at every single position, you're at least two deep. Speak to the competitiveness that, you know, it's probably there now, but it's going to ramp up as guys want time, they want minutes, they want to move up, all those different things. Speak to competitiveness that is being built around the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yeah. You know, we definitely got competitors. There's nobody's laying down for anybody. At every position, there's somebody that's battling against you that you know that they're coming for your spot, and you know, vice versa. Like, I'm trying to keep a spot. I'm trying to, you know, put myself at a level of, okay, I know that, you know, he deserves this. You know, I know he deserves this because, like, we're going at each other every single day. And we're very competitive, which it makes it so much fun. It makes practice so much fun because, you know, when we're doing these drills and we're playing live, you can tell dudes are trying to get after each other.
I like hearing it, Grant.
See, listen
I'm
to
sorry.
Doug, man. He's like, Doug's like, man, I want to play.
That's,
right?
That's my thing, Willie. I dig it, man. I dig it. I listen to Buddy. He's always chirping. He'd be the guy I'm going for him first. I'm coming for your head, Buddy. I love it, Grant. I'm sorry.
Willie, man, have a great weekend. We look forward to seeing you out there on Monday, and we'll talk to you again next week. Be well, man.
All right, sounds good.
Appreciate you, man.
Take care. Yeah, these guys can't wait, right? What was that like? You remember when you're getting tired of going against one another and you just want to get out and play against somebody else, you know?
Yeah, you want to unleash against somebody else, because I know that if I'm touching you this way, when I go and it's a different jersey, boy, I'm going to touch him in a way that he's not going to be expecting. On top of the fact that, Grant, after you run the play nine times,
I know,
they start playing the play, and then you kind of sometimes there's turnovers that aren't going to happen in the game because they're playing the play, so they get their hand on the ball, and the coach is upset, and so you got to be super precise. Then you get in the game, and you go, oh, man, you know what? That actually worked. And, yeah, it is just – it's a lot of fun. After a few days – I mean, think about it, Grant. We'd be doing two-a-days way longer than they're doing two-a-days now. And on top of that, you hear the coach's voice. You see the same guys every day. You're bumping into them. It's sweating. Yeah, man, it is a – but it is a fun environment, my friend.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Good stuff. Willie Cauley-Stein. Again, we'll talk to him each and every week.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. To continue to get that player's perspective on wins, on losses, on good nights and bad nights, and all the different things that are Sacramento Kings. And I like Willie's perspective. He thinks when he's talking, you can hear it. And to hear some of the things that how he views it. For instance, when he said Bogdan is calm, you're like, expand upon
that.
Yeah,
what does that mean? In a basketball sense is why I asked him.
No doubt. And I get that because he's just got a – he does. He has a calmness about him, Grant, that, you know, he's – was he 25, I think? About 24, 25?
24, I think.
Yeah. So he's seen a lot of things. And I think a lot of that comes from he's put himself in championship situations. So, you know, just a little bit of pressure isn't going to bother him too much. He's not going to get too rattled. And as Willie said, he's a sniper. What a skill set. I'm glad that he's a King.
Yeah, well, I think he was the biggest beneficiary when the Kings made the trade last year because, you know, he became a different player and knew that he didn't have to look over his shoulder. And, you know, I mean, when you play with a player like DeMarcus, even though he led the team in assist, he's a dominant guy with the ball. So, you know, if you're a big, you may not get the ball that much. And Willie was kind of like a whole different guy after that deal.
Yeah, and you can tell how Willie is. I like the mindset of what he's trying to do and what he's seeing. He's saying, hey, coach is trusting us big guys with the basketball. That means it's coming through us the similar way it went through Vlade and it went through
right.
Chris, and they got to make decisions because they showed that they could do that and they had the skill set to do that. So, and I think that for the Kings, that means you're going to use shooting, you're going to use picks and cuts and a lot of different things, and it sounds like it's going to be a really, really fun season for the Kings. Whether that is paired right away with winning or not isn't necessarily the point. That is the object. But the point is you play hard and you continue to progressively get better, Grant.
All right, as Doug and I have been talking about, looking for your upset of the week, your lock of the week at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're going to go and give you our picks at 5:35. So Doug and I will go through the schedule, and we'll get you caught up on our picks. And then at 6:15, we'll talk some Denver Bronco football. What's that? Oh, all right. So we'll do it at 5:45. Kevin Nagel's coming on at 5:35.
Yeah, we got to talk a little Republic, Grant, and get that in.
They have their final regular season home game tomorrow. And then we'll get ready for the playoffs. And we know Chris is going to be out there tomorrow.
Tower Bridge Battalion in full effect. Hey, it's getting a little colder, Chris. Make sure that scarf is clean. Wash it, buddy. Or you don't wash it, do you? Dry clean that thing?
Oh, you never wash it.
Oh, goodness.
You don't wash it at all?
Good God.
Did you say you don't wash your scarf?
No, it's got memories in it.
Oh, okay.
It's got more than memories, buddy. That thing, you just take it. Matter of fact, you don't even take it off. You just say, sit down. It just comes off of him. Come on, Chris. You don't wash it.
Man.
It's not a hat, Chris. Goodness gracious, man. Next time I see you, I'm going to give you a pound from way back when I see that scarf. I can't believe you admitted that on air, Chris. Wash the scarf, Chris. Dry clean it. Send the bill to Grant.
Man.
The thing
I don't know what to say, really, to you.
No. Chris, he surprises me from time to time, Chris. Matter of fact, if I go to the game, and it's a possibility that I may get out there with my son.
You should go. It's a lot of fun.
I'm
really
going to get him a new scarf.
I'm going to a 50th birthday party tomorrow, or else I would go. So I'm unable to go tomorrow. But I'm telling you, it really is fun. I mean, really mean that. I think you'll have a very good time.
Yeah, I may do that. Anybody in particular? Well, we got the owner on. Need seats, you just talk to the owner, right?
You know what? I'm not going to go there.
No,
if
I'm
I
not
needed
either.
Seats, I wouldn't ask the owner over the radio. But
well, I wasn't going to ask him over the radio, Grant. We got connections.
Yes, I'm sure that if you wanted to go to the game,
Erica Bajort,
I'm sure that you would be taken care of. That is correct.
Yeah,
you know, I have a lot of confidence that that would occur.
You just gave me a lesson on air, Grant. I like that about
well,
you.
Well, you know, I don't
say,
know.
You
if
know,
would
I
be,
wouldn't do
you know,
that
if
on
I
air.
Would just like come right out and ask the owner on the air if you can have tickets to the game.
Ah, oh, that's pretty.
He'd probably say sure, and he'd give you Chris's tickets.
I take all your cues, Napier. I take all your cues, my
so,
friend.
So, yeah, we will have Kevin Nagel on in about 10 minutes. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, tell you what, why don't we get to Gary. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Grant. Hey, I was just listening to Willie talk, and I'm curious. You've gotten a much closer look and much more extensive look than I have. Do you think that he and the other big men on the team now have those kind of passing skills to essentially be point forwards, or you think they're pretty much learning it from scratch?
I think a little bit of both, Gary. I think that some guys probably have a little bit more skill, but those are the drills that you have to work on. You got to see, you know, I don't think coach is going to put guys in positions where they're not going to be their best. That's one thing that you can see about Coach Yeager. He understands the game forward and backwards, so he's going to put guys in positions to succeed. So if someone needs a little bit more work, or you got two guys, you got a four and a five, or you got two bigs out there, so we're going to play through Willie and instead of playing through Costa in this particular instance, because Willie is better at this particular thing. And a lot of the times, you know, we were fortunate enough to have two big guys that were the two best passers in the league.
Yep.
So we could go either way where, you know, they might have to dictate which way they go, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, you guys had, you know, two big men who had exceptional passing skills right from the start. Do you think part of this is because of how young the point guards are?
That's a good question, actually. No, I think that the point guards have shown, especially Frank Mason, we've seen a smaller sample size in De'Aaron Fox, but it has been more than enough to know that he can absolutely run a team. When you look at Frank Mason, I think he can run a team as well. And then George Hill has been a consummate professional for many years. So, no, I don't think it's that. I think that it's the style of play that Coach Yeager is looking to implement is, you know, using the speed, quickness, and skills of his guards, maybe without the ball always in their hand and ball dominant, allow the big guys to touch the ball. Also, one thing that I always found quite threatening is when a big guy like Webb or we use Willie Cauley-Stein, gets the ball at the elbow, he is one dribble away from dunking. It puts a heightened sense of urgency on the defense to make sure they're on point, which then allows back cuts and different things to happen, Gary.
Hey, great. Hey, one quick question for Grant. Have you changed your opinion at all about the FedEx Cup after how exciting the East Lake wound up being, or are you still on the fence?
I'd be better with it, and I will be better with it when they move it out of football season. I did not watch a lot of the FedEx Cup this year. I watched the second weekend. I did not watch any of the third weekend, and I got to tell you, I didn't watch one shot of the Tour Championship.
Well, I have to say, I really don't find it very compelling until you get to the Tour Championship, and this one just happened to wind up being pretty exceptional, but they haven't all been like that. Hey, thanks very much for you guys' time, and have a great weekend.
Hey, Gary, you do the same. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we are going to have Kevin Nagel on at the bottom of the hour, so we're looking forward to that. And the final regular season game at home. And then we'll see what the Republic can do in the postseason.
Should be fun, Grant. And nothing like getting on the pitch, getting out there. We know one thing. Chris Verlade will be in attendance. It's 5:22. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com.
Think Kevin's okay with the fact that he hasn't washed his scarf in a couple of years?
Well,
you get a new scarf every year. It's
oh,
not
you
the
get
same
a new
one.
Scarf every year?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either. Okay. Okay. I get how you do it. Each scarf has a memory. So at the end of the year, you just stand it up in the corner?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That's still disgusting. I don't want to hear it because I know you're out there drinking and sweating and having a good old time, Chris.
That reminds me in college when we lived off campus.
Uh-oh.
And I was living with my hockey buddy, George McPhee. And
Golden Knights.
Yeah. Former New York Ranger.
Yes, sir. Number?
Well, he had two numbers, 37 and 21.
Thank you.
So, anyway, we there was one guy on the hockey team whose last name was Kindrychuk. All right?
And if you can look, what?
Kindrychuk. His brother was an excellent, longtime NHL player.
Okay.
Well, this particular individual just was not really keen on taking showers. And if when he did, he never, ever, 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 ever would use a different towel. So he threw his towel once out in the garage where the dog was. And I'll never forget, we're in the one room watching TV. And George gets up, and I hear George cursing, like, what? He went out into the garage, and he goes, Napes, come over here and look at this. I'm like, what? He goes, you just got to stick your head in here. There was probably, I'm not exaggerating, 20,000-25,000 flies in the garage around this towel and the dog. And I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? And it was from Orest, Kindrychuk. And you couldn't make it up. I'm like, you know what? Open up the garage. Let the dog out, for crying out. And the flies. There had to be 25,000 flies in there.
Kindrychuk, huh?
Yep.
Oh, funky Kindrychuk. Yep.
All right. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
It is 5:33. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com.
All right. We are with you for another 90 minutes, taking you up till 7 o'clock. And then we got a lot of football this weekend, both Saturday, Sunday, and we've got Kings basketball coming up on Monday for you, the first of six right here during the preseason. And then, as I said tonight, we've got USC and Washington State. Speaking of USC, Kevin Nagel to talk about the Sacramento Republic and, of course, the owner and his quest to bring the MLS to Sacramento, and a USC alum. So that's why he's on now and not towards the end of the show, because Kevin's got to get ready for USC and Washington State. Kevin, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, guys. Great to hear from you. And, yes, I will be watching the game tonight.
Oh, I know that. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Hard to believe that here we are, and it's the final regular season game tomorrow for the Republic, isn't it? It just seems like we were out there getting ready for the start of the season.
It is. It's been an interesting season. Tomorrow's our last game where we're going to play Phoenix Rising. Some people may not know, but Phoenix Rising actually has one of the game's best and most recognized players, a Chelsea striker named Didier Drogba. And so we're going to have to contend with him tomorrow night, who will be in the game. And they're actually fighting for a playoff position just like we are.
Kevin, when you look at this season and you go back as you trying to go to MLS and all the different things, what might you draw from this moving forward for the Sacramento Republic fans?
Well, I mean, first of all, you can say Kings too, because you know they're passionate. My heart is an owner. Realistically, Doug, you know, we've got fantastic fans. In fact, that's really that's the analogy that we have with the Kings. And tomorrow is going to be no difference. We've had a sellout ever since we started the team, and tomorrow will be a sellout. We'll have a few tickets left at the gate, but what it does do is it sends a message to MLS, this may be our last chance at home to show them. Mm-hmm. In every game up until now, we've sold out.
Well, the one thing that I think is very apparent, and I think we know this, MLS has seen. They have had their eyebrows raised the very first time they saw what the Republic did here. Like, wow, okay, it is a wow factor. You know, you guys are going to get a team in December. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And this is just the beginning. I mean, that's what's great. We've watched the last couple of years, Kevin, of this Republic team and the amazing fan support, which is growing and growing and growing. And, I mean, just try to fast forward 5 years from now, Kevin. You know, after the team's already been in the new stadium in the rail yards for a few years, I'm talking MLS, the rivalries that you will develop up and down the West Coast with franchises like Seattle and Portland, this is just the tip of the iceberg. When you even glance ahead just to 5 years, this is going to be unbelievable for this community.
I think there's no question about it. You know, really, the West Coast, it looks like we've really developed really a great soccer tradition already in its short period of time. And by the same breath, I'm not sure that you saw, but Atlanta at the MLS level last week, they hit the 70,000 number in a match. And I think that's, and frankly, and I mean, obviously they're playing in their football stadium, but we're going to build, as you know, we're going to build a stadium that's right around 20,000. And I think 5 years from now, I mean, this is something that we really struggle in the development right now is, should we build something larger? And it's always that, you know, there's always that temptation. But the reality of it is we'll deal with it later. I hope that we have that problem 5 years from now.
Yeah, good point.
Kevin, when you first started, was your vision what you see now, or has the Sacramento area far surpassed maybe what you thought in your mind as you were coming into the Republic?
Well, I mean, Doug, the real interesting thing is that really the U.S. has done a terrific job the last several years of developing soccer mm-hmm. at the grassroots level. You know, all of our children played soccer. Both mine played soccer. And that's one thing that I think that is unique, as you know, is that as many women play soccer as do men. In fact, they've won World Cups in the men's soccer side. We're still looking for that. But Sacramento, actually, we have actually one of the best areas within the country for development of players. In fact, we've sent 27 of them to MLS already in its 22-year history, you know, league history. And that is one of the highest numbers on how the U.S. Soccer Federation breaks out the team. So we feel really very good that we've got a lot of local talent, as well as I think just the other types of farm systems that are being developed so that we can go out and we can recruit players. But really the key, from my opinion, is you develop from within, and we already have that presently in Sacramento, in the region.
We're talking with Kevin Nagel. Tomorrow is the final regular season game. As Kevin said, you know, expecting a sellout. But you did say, I want to make sure I heard you correctly, that there would probably be some tickets available for walk-ups, you imagine?
Yes, we will. And by the way, just so you know, it's our final home game,
right,
Grant. And then we've still got a couple of more games on the road.
On the road, and then hopefully the playoffs.
It's going to be an interesting last three or four games because it's a fight for those playoff spots. It's just like basketball, but we're in a fight to make sure that we maintain our position of being in the playoffs every year that we've been in the league since 2014, when we did win the championship.
Kevin, is the mindset in the spirit around the team that they think that they're going to be able to pull it off and get in, and what would need to happen to make that happen?
To get into the playoffs?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, I think that I think they recognize they're in a fight. I mean, you know, we had some injuries this year, but we can, as you know, being an ex-player, you can't really use that as an excuse.
No,
everyone's got to step up as a team and mm-hmm. do their job. In my mind, I have full confidence that we're going to make the playoffs. You know, the players have, you know, we've had a little bit of a rough spot recently, but I think that, you know, every game is a new game, as you know. And when you're still in it, we're going to make sure that we're going to take advantage of it. We've got some tough games, but I think that we win some games, it makes us that much better for the playoffs.
Well, Kevin, tomorrow should be a lot of fun. The weather is going to be absolutely perfect, ideal for a soccer match. As you said, the final regular season home game and then a couple games on the road. Have fun watching Sam Darnold and the Trojans tonight on the road at Washington State. Yes.
Hey. I'm hoping tomorrow. I'm hoping at the end of tomorrow night, I'm 2-0. That's kind of That's kind of the way I judge it. And for not too long, you know, there's going to be a little bit of overlap with the Kings. So yep. You know, we're going to have to make it. We're going to have to make it a triple. But anyway, hey, thanks so much, guys, for the call.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Take care. Have a great weekend. That's Kevin Nagel joining us right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. One thing I wanted to get to is. because we've been talking about this all week. And when we come back, I want to tell you the latest memo, all right? The latest memo that was sent from Commissioner Adam Silver and the NBA to all teams, all right? It was sent out this afternoon to all teams regarding conduct at the arena from their players and coaches.
Mm.
We'll get to that next here on Sports 1140. Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's the deal with the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sent out a memo this afternoon. They sent out a memo to all teams. The memo came from the Deputy Commissioner, Mark Tatum. It instructs teams that, quote, the league office will determine how to deal with any possible instance in which a player, coach, or trainer does not stand for the anthem. The memo also says that individual teams, quote, do not have the discretion to waive the rule that players, coaches, and staff must stand for the anthem. The league will have discretion on how to discipline players who violate the rule. Now, in the memo, Tatum suggests how teams may address certain issues. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, this could include a message of unity and how the team is committed to bringing the community together this season in a pregame address. The memo also suggests teams might prepare a video tribute or a public service announcement featuring things such as team leadership speaking about the issues they care about. Yesterday, we heard from Adam Silver, said he expects players to stand for the national anthem. The NBA is saying you are going to stand for the national anthem. And if not, we have the right and we will discipline you. Your thoughts on that?
First of all, the fact that they're beginning conversations like this, Grant, and being proactive, I think is just absolutely smart. That has been a rule. We've seen, you know, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf went through something like that. And I like the way Commissioner Silver, I like his spirit about going about it. There seems to be a relationship between the league and the players that is absent in the NFL, and I think that that's part of the reason that we see some of this. So how you go about it, is it speaking to the fans? Is it going out in the community? All those different things are exactly what this was all about, to begin communication because there is a problem, and that problem is only going to be solved with communication. So from that standpoint, I think they're spot on with the way that they're starting this conversation and approach.
All right, let's get to Craig. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, gentlemen, happy Friday.
Hey. To you. What's up?
Yeah, hey, I'm checking in on two things, and I guess they're both kind of different, but I wanted to see, I'm getting obviously excited for the Kings basketball this year. I was wondering if you'd heard or seen yourself personally how the team's going as far as practice is going. My two questions for you are, who do you think is the most improved team with the trades that have gone down this year in the NBA and obviously through the draft? I also wanted to make a comment and get your take on what I thought was horribly disgusting to watch, and that is Chicago Bears just folding up yesterday in that game. They were only down 3 scores, and I just think for your fans, one of the most exciting things there is for a team and for your fan base is to mount an incredible comeback. As a high school coach, I love kids never giving up, and we're always instilling that. And yet the Bears, with 5 minutes to go and only down 3 scores, just folded and started handing the ball. And then they didn't even get their rookie quarterback in to get him reps. It just made no sense.
Yeah, when you talk about the rookie quarterback, I think Trubisky and Grant said it. Their coach, Fox, has spoken out to the fact that he will be starting next week. I would have Craig probably implemented him into the starting lineup probably in the second half, even maybe at the end of the second quarter, but definitely in the second half. Unfortunate, but you will get to see what young Mitch Trubisky will do this weekend. Next weekend, excuse me.
Yeah, and that'll be great. What's your take on them just giving up in that game? I mean, how does that rest with you? Am I being—
I didn't think they gave up in the game. I just thought they played very poorly, and I just thought they were outplayed. I personally didn't think they gave up.
No, and sometimes it can look that way when you're getting your butt whooped.
Right.
I mean, the game was essentially over. You
it
mentioned
was.
It, Grant, right away.
It was over. Five minutes left to go.
From the fumbles.
I mean, 5 minutes into the first quarter.
Yeah, unfortunate for the Bears.
All right, let's get to Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Grant. I wanted to ask you and Doug this question. Why hasn't the NFL commissioner sent out a memo to players basically saying to stand for the national anthem? That's number one. Number two, do you think it's right that Adam Silver is basically telling the players what they can protest and what they can't?
Yes, I do think, first of all, the second part of your question, yes, I do think it's right, because the reality is the NBA is a business, and businesses can dictate how their employees they can dictate their code of conduct at work. So yes, I do think it's appropriate. To the first part of your question, Roger Goodell did have a meeting this week with NFL owners, players, and management, and they met face to face about this. And so they are addressing it. But can the NBA do that? Yes, they can do that. It's a business. Just like, I'm not sure what you do for a living. But if you have an employer, they can dictate to you what the rules of etiquette are in your workplace. And if you don't want to follow them, then you don't have to work there. But they can demand certain things from you, such as dress code, such as, you know, other things. So that's perfectly legal, yes.
You know, Jim, I believe that it's in the NBA bylaws also, where in the NFL it is not in the bylaws.
That's a great point, Doug.
Yeah. You look, Jim, at the way that both of these leagues attack this situation. The NBA, progressive, they're starting right from the beginning, starting conversation with their players and with the Players Association. The NFL, as Grant mentioned, they wait until it hits their bottom line, and then it's just muddled after that, whereas they just had a meeting this week, and this has been going on for 14 months now.
Yep.
This is something that you probably should have started that conversation, and maybe there's a way that the NFL and the players can attack the situation to help bring it up, as opposed to drawing sides.
Okay, and also, Doug, you've been in many locker rooms, and you know 80 to 90% of NBA players are African-American. So do you think
70,
doing
but
this right
close
now
enough. Mm-hmm.
Doing this right now, Commissioner Silver, what he did, was this the right time? Or because,
oh, no doubt.
Like, okay.
No doubt. And I said this earlier. I know we got to go, Jim, but I said this earlier. The relationship between Commissioner Silver, the Players Association, and the player is a healthy one. There's a very good dialogue there. They seem to understand each other and understand that there are things that are going on in our world outside of the game of basketball that are going to affect it. And how do we go about that? That conversation has been started, and kudos to Commissioner Silver.
Amen. I applaud Commissioner Silver for making sure that memo was handed out before the first preseason game. We'll be right back. Sports 1140 KHTK.